Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. Our goal is to help you develop a lifestyle that promotes health, wholeness, and healing. Feeling good is about accepting who we are and living from a place of inner peace in our perfectly imperfect lives. Every week, we provide you with interviews with top experts in their field to support you in living your most beautiful, inspired, and joyful life with a focus on health, wellness, meditation, and spirituality, and personal empowerment. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of the lifestyle brand Saluna, New York Times bestselling author and nutritionist. Now let's get started. Hey, beauties. Welcome back to our Monday interview podcast. I am so excited for our show today. We have Miss Koya Webb, who is a amazing internationally recognized yogi, a personal trainer, motivational speaker, an author, wellness coach, and a personal friend of mine. She is so inspiring, so full of light that you're really going to enjoy this interview. But before we dive in today, I just want to give a shout out to our amazing fan of the week. And her name is Kate Jazzercise. Love the name. She writes, I've been a follower of Kimberly's since I found her first book about 6 years ago. Her message is positive and her podcast is a great balance of informative and uplifting. Feel good. I also love that her recipes are super easy. I listen to the podcast while I walk, and it gives me an emotional lift every time. Kate Jazzercise, thank you so much for being our fan of the week. I send you so much love, beauty. I am so grateful for you. I'm so grateful we are connected. Thank you again so much. And beauties, for your chance to also be shouted out as the fan of the week, please just take 2 minutes or so out of your day and leave us a review on iTunes. It's a wonderful way to help support the show, spread the message, and help other people. So we thank you so much in advance. And again, you can also share the podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud, wherever you are. There is a share button there. So you can share it with colleagues, friends, family members who you think could also benefit. All right. All that being said, let us dive in today with our interview with the one and only Koya Webb. Hey, beauties. Welcome back. I have the amazing Koya Webb sitting across from me, who is such a dear friend. I am in love with this woman. She is an international yogi, transformational specialist. So much you do, Koya. You are amazing, a powerhouse. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
I'm so happy to just be in your presence, girl. Your garden, your home, everything is just amazing.
We've been just chatting and chatting, and I said, what? I had to turn on the recorder because this is amazing. This conversation is amazing. We were just talking about your journey in putting yourself out there and growing your community and your challenges. Can you just tell us a little bit about the journey, your journey, what's happened?
It's been, you know, and I'll just kind of pick up where we just started diving deep, because I feel like it's a little different than, you know, my how I found yoga story. It's just how have I dealt with the challenges, you know, in the journey. And I feel like when I first started, I was so sensitive. I could not take a negative comment. I could not take someone talking about me. My heart was broken every single time. I remember telling my father, it's like, well, this is happening. This girl did this and this person did this. And it's not fair.
I've been through that too. You know, it almost makes you not want to do it anymore.
Exactly. It makes you want to check out. Yeah. And my dad looked at me with his stern, just direct gaze, and he said, Koya, life is not fair.
Wow.
And that was so, I was like, how could you say that? Like,
wow.
That is not real.
This is after you started teaching yoga, or is this?
No, this is like young girl. This is like 14-year-old girl.
Okay, teenage Koya.
This is teenage Koya. So I'm taking you back. A teenage Koya, heartbroken because daddy told me life isn't fair. And I'm like, what do you mean life isn't fair?
Yeah.
You know, I was raised in the church. Do good to people. People are doing good to you.
Where did you grow up?
In Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you were like, wow, this is a shift.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't understand why people, if you're good to people, why they aren't good back to you. That's the way it works, right? And he's like, no, that's not the way it works. And so it took me a long time to understand that it's really not about life being fair. It's about how you allow your soul to grow through the process of life. Mm. Life just is. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to realize that there actually is, the more that I look at things as good and bad, the harder it is to process.
Right, the labeling, the right, wrong. The things that I talk about in the new book, the and principle. We can be healthy and sometimes we have cupcakes. Or mm-hmm. You know, you are this amazing yoga teacher and sometimes you're going to, you know, feel pain and go through rough moments. It doesn't mean you get to this stage of peace and we don't feel.
Yeah.
So you have built such a huge community, Koya. Mm-hmm. You are out there. You are sharing your heart. You're teaching yoga. You're a transformational specialist. Tell us about... There's so many things I want to ask you, but tell us about how you first knew this was your life calling. Like, how did your life turn into this direction? Mm. I know you were a track athlete.
Yes.
Like, uh-huh. you've been very, you know, physical and healthy, yeah, and in touch with your body.
Well, I thought I was.
Here I am.
I'm running track. I'm you know, doing all these things. Yeah. I got a full scholarship to Wichita State. And then wow. I had a stress fracture. I got injured because I wasn't taking care of my body. I wasn't getting enough rest. I wasn't getting enough recovery. Mm. I wasn't really eating the best. And a stress fracture is just an overuse injury. You put too much pressure. And I tell people, injuries, accidents, those are wake-up calls.
Yes.
A lot of times are wake-up calls so we can look at things more clearly. And so I took a look, and that look was yoga. I didn't know it at the time, though. I was devastated. I got kicked out of class because I was crying, and the counselor sent me to yoga. But when she sent me to yoga, I didn't know she was sending me to self-reflection and to really look at myself and figure out, like, how can I be more balanced?
Wow.
So through this yoga class. And again,
In college. Wow.
I mean, I was so intimidated. I was like, I can't touch my toes. You know, people are doing headstands. I feel like my brain is want to ooze out my skull.
Was your body pretty tight from
I was
running?
So tight.
Your muscles were.
My muscles were so tight. I was so strong.
Even though there was a stretching component, I imagine.
Yeah, because
the
stretching,
same.
Dynamic stretching is different than the stretching that you do in yoga. And
right.
Yoga. It's more you're stretching to build, you know, fast twitch muscle fibers, you know, and so all the stretching that I mostly did was dynamic, except for my back bends for the high jump. And that was literally the only, I was great in back bends in yoga because of high jump, but everything else, like my hamstrings and things like that, it was really tight.
What was it like when you realized that track wasn't going to be your life? Was there almost like a grieving process? Was it part of your identity?
It was a huge part of my identity. I was devastated. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Track is my life. What am I going to do? And so when I started to practice yoga, after that year of practicing, I went back to the track because I was like, thank you, yoga. I appreciated it. I started swimming. I started biking. I healed my body and I came back and I won the conference meet. I led my team to a championship title and I was like, I'm moving to California. I'm going to go to the Olympic Training Center. I'm going to the Olympics. So it was a thank you, yoga. I didn't realize at that moment that yoga was my thing. I was just like, yoga was my healer.
Yeah, it was a tool.
It was a tool that I used to rehab my body. So here I am in California, and I go right back to hitting the bricks like I used to. I'm running, you know,
at the Olympic Training Center.
I wasn't there yet. So I was almost at the marks that I need to get into the Olympic Training Center, but I wasn't there yet. So I called this guy. His name is Ron Sheffield. He was a coach at San Diego State University. I was like, can you please train me? All I can promise you is that every day I will get better and I would get faster. And I was determined. He was like, who are you? I was like, you don't know me, but I looked you up. And he was the closest coach to the Olympic Training Center. So I was like, this person's gonna, and I out of nowhere, this is how kind of ballsy and ambitious I am. Right.
Wow, I love it.
And I was
taking risks.
I was just
no
like,
fear.
No fear. I'm moving. And my boyfriend didn't want to come with me, so I broke up with him.
Whoa,
yeah,
girl,
I was just like,
you just went for it.
I just went for it. So I go out here. And here I am. I have to provide for myself. I saved up a little money in college being a personal trainer, working at the YMCA. So, but I had an apartment. So I was working at 24-hour fitness as a personal trainer in the morning. And the evening I was training 4 hours a day. And then at night I was training again because I had to make my own money, do everything myself. And what happened? Injury. I pulled my hamstring.
God.
So I was just like, what? And I was so frustrated. And then I was like, Koya, you stop taking yourself. You stop getting sleep. I was so stressed out. My eye was jumping. My eye was twitching. And so that's how I knew. And I was taking care of others very well. I was hitting my marks on the track.
What were you stressed about? Your training or just life?
My body
in your
just
head?
Couldn't recover. No, I wasn't stressed in my head. I was happy. But the thing is, I'm a happy-go-lucky person. So sometimes with people like me who are very ambitious and happy-go-lucky, you don't feel stress or process stress as it is, because even good stress is stress.
Yes.
So here I am hitting the marks, helping people reach their goals. But the thing was, I wasn't sleeping. Sometimes I was skipping meals. I was living off of protein shakes and protein bars and energy drinks.
Well, were you plant-based back then?
Not yet. And so, and I definitely wasn't healthy. I would eat big ice cream sandwiches and things like that. I had no clue about food. And I mean, I was an athlete. I trained 4 hours a day.
Yeah, you just needed fuel.
I was 12% body fat and I still ate dessert. Like was like, my body was like a machine. But the thing was, my body is not a machine. And eventually I pulled hamstring. And that's when I was like, oh, not again. And but I don't see it when I'm in it. All I was saying is like, I'm determined. And you listen to those podcasts saying, you have to lose sleep and go after your dreams. So I'm listening to all these inspirational messages and podcasts. And they're just like, go after it and lose sleep and balls to the wall. And I did it.
One approach. It doesn't have to be that way.
That is not my approach now. Now I am still very ambitious and I still go after my dream, but now I've learned the beauty and balance.
Yes.
And how that the more that I take care of myself, the more that I'll have to put into others and put into my dreams and my goals and things like that. It doesn't have to be all or none. I don't have to put all my eggs in the work basket. Now I can put some eggs in the self-care basket.
Well, it's like the Tao. We're co-creating. We're working. It doesn't have to be this pushing all the time, because the body will break down in the sleep, and then everything starts to go.
And I learned this through yoga. I learned how to flow.
So did you get back into yoga after?
I did. After I pulled my hamstring. Yes, in San Diego at the time.
Okay, okay.
At San Diego at the time, I was like, okay, I just start going to yoga classes. And then I was also like, I kind of want to move to LA because I, you know, start looking into modeling again. I always wanted to model, but my father said I couldn't model. So after college, well, here I am after college. Mm. And I only thought about track. I was like, well, now that I'm injured again, maybe I'll try modeling, you know? And I was just living my dreams.
Mesmerized by your skin.
Oh, thank you. Yours as well. Reflection, right? So here I am like, okay. And again, my ambition is just like off the Richter scale. Like I've always been, since I was a little girl, I would make mud pies, you know, because my mom wouldn't let me cook with her in the kitchen. So it's like, I don't really take no for an answer. I'm always looking for a way to actualize whatever I can dream up in my head, even if it's in fantasy, right? And so here I am, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to model because I've always wanted to model. And, you know, I did a couple of runway shows and a couple of fashion
shows.
How
tall are you?
I'm 5'11".
Okay, yeah, perfect.
So it was so much fun. And so I got these calls and I was driving San Diego to LA. And I was like, I'm just going to move. I'm just going to take it. And so when I moved, I was still dealing with a lot of stress. And I was personal training, but I love doing what we're doing. I love talking to people, listening to people, going deeper, because again, I was raised in the church and, you know, I always had this compassion to just talk with people and listen to their problems. So in that transition from San Diego to LA, I also got my life coaching certification.
Oh, okay.
And at the age of 25, became a life coach just because of my ability to listen to people and guide them to their own solution.
Well, and you are an empath, so you have that ability to really connect
and
what
feel.
People are feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so that felt really good. And once I moved to LA, I took my first yoga teacher training because I was like, you know what?
Who is it from?
It was from Carolyn Kalib, and she has a Source of Yoga. It's still going on here. She teaches Ashtanga.
Okay.
So I got my 200. I was an Ashtangi.
Wow.
So, and I still do Ashtanga from time to time. It is very disciplined. It is very strict. But let me tell you, the beauty of being so disciplined every single day for 2 hours a day, it helped me shed and heal a lot of trauma that happened to me in my past that I was just covering up. Mm. Right? And I was using track and field as an outlet.
So
and
stuff was, even before.
Yeah, that, even like, before the injury. Mm. And so I was just like, okay, yoga became my best friend. Wow.
And you know, you were meditating, you were practicing, you mm-hmm. were
I got sick.
Doing breath work.
I was doing breath work. I got so sick. I, when you're detoxing and you're eating so clean and I was juicing, you get this detox. It was almost like the flu. And I was sneezing every day. I was like, oh my goodness, this is the worst ever. But my teacher was like, just keep going. Just keep it. She wouldn't give me a day off.
Yeah.
And I love her for that now. And I was kind of used to it because of my track. You know, I never missed a day when I was in elementary school. I had perfect attendance all the way through college.
What?
I was really, yeah, I was all about being present, all about showing up for myself. And I didn't really get sick. My dad and mom, they had natural health books. So I really didn't get sick. And my mom cooked most of our, even though we were eating not the best things.
It was homemade.
It was homemade. It was a lot of love and intention. We prayed over every meal. And I do think that's matter. A lot of people, they ask me, you know, like, what if I can't, you know, go 100% vegan? What if I'm just plant? I was like, whatever you feel like you can do, do it. But just be intentional. Like, eat. And the more that you can make your food. The more
Agreed.
You can pray over you. And whatever you decide to eat, be whole with it.
Yes.
Like, don't eat something and say, I know I shouldn't be eating this. Then don't eat it.
Oh, that really does affect your digestion.
It really does.
And I feel like we can intend whatever this food is going into my body, it's going to turn into something wonderful. Like, we can actually put intentions versus the guilt of, I shouldn't be eating this ice cream. That's going to really... I think detrimentally impact the way it interacts with your body.
And thoughts are things. So the resistance you have in your mind, it causes resistance in your digestion.
That's a bloating disaster
mechanism, right?
Yes.
So I always tell people, just embrace whatever you do. Do it intentionally. Don't do anything that's not a yes in your body, because then you're fighting against yourself.
So then you do the training, and then right away you started doing retreats, or then you started your Instagram. Like, how did you build your community?
Not right away. So I got into modeling, and I was actually more into life coaching.
Okay.
And I would do yoga for myself just to keep myself healthy, and I would do meditate just to keep myself healthy. And I was more into transformation, helping people with the tools that I use through life coaching and personal training. So I'd help them change their mind and their body.
What were some of those tools?
So some of those tools that I still use today is meditation. Meditation is the biggest one. Just really going within to work things out.
Mm-hmm.
Really taking time to not, you know, you look at social media and the news, and it's all telling us how we should be, how we should look, how we should think, what we should do.
And it's so fast moving.
It's so fast moving.
Versus the stillness.
Versus the stillness. Versus going within and asking your soul. The only thing that you will have whenever you transition, no matter what you believe, I think everyone is on the same page. We will leave this body at some point, right? So, and whatever you believe happens after that, after you come in another lifetime as an animal, or you go to heaven or hell, or whatever you believe, you don't take your body with you, right?
Right.
But your soul is still there. So if that is true, then why not connect with that soul and ask for direction and guidance? And so that's why I encourage people to just sit with themselves and meditate, even when they're having stress about job, relation, anything. Sit in stillness, meditate, and ask. You know, a lot of people say empty your mind. I think that's one way, because I've learned different types of meditation.
Yeah, that's very really like Zen Buddhist.
Right?
The empty.
But there's also asking, and I feel like you can ask yourself one question. I tell my students, just ask whatever question you have. Just ask yourself one question and just sit with it and allow your soul to answer. And follow that and see how it feels. And then ask again. And then ask again. Instead of asking your best friend, asking Google and all these things, right?
Yeah, or getting our information, like you said, from the news, from social media,
exactly.
Which is going to just toss us around.
Exactly, because everyone's path is different. And some of those answers, like if I'm your coach, I might give you good, great recommendations off of what I've done in my life. But you might have a different path. And I always tell people that I give recommendations. I have all these recommendations for you. This is a guide. This is what I've learned in my life. But I want you to take all these and see what sits well with you. Some things are going to sit well and some things are not. And so I'm teaching them not just to listen to me, but use everything you get from the outside as tools to shoot you straight towards your personal goal. It's all about your own personal goal, your own personal path. and how that path really collectively builds with others on the same or similar path. And I feel that if we do that, one, something we were talking about before we start recording, we can release judgment because you can allow other people and realize, well, their path may be doing something else, right? But if you focus on your path and those who connect with your path, you have much more happiness.
Yes. Right?
You're much more in alignment with your soul, I believe.
Wow. So would you actually meditate with your clients, or would you teach them and then they would come back to you and sort of...
I would teach them. So when I was teaching, we would meditate together and I would do a guided meditation. And then I also teach them how to meditate on their own, and I would give them different music they can use. I really love hypnotherapy as well. So there's so many ways to meditate as well. And I like to do different types of meditation, even for my personal practice. I love transcendental meditation. I love hypnotherapy. And I love guided meditations, and I love more of the Zen Buddhist just sitting.
Yes.
Like, I can't wait to go to a Vipassana. I have not done that yet.
When you're doing that, that's going to be amazing.
I cannot wait. But I believe all of them have, it's almost like food, right? Every food has a different benefit of the body. I think different types of yoga and also different types of meditation have different effects on the body and the mind.
So you would meditate with your clients. And then I would say, Koya, because you're so insightful, this question just bubbled up when you were talking, because it's something I've dealt with a lot. Mm-hmm. Something that I get a lot of questions about, something I've written about, especially in this last book. What is your approach, or what would you say to one of your clients that doesn't feel like they're enough, not good enough, not enough to go for this dream, just in that sort of contracted space of, I'm not enough?
Yeah, you have to believe in yourself. That's the number one thing.
That's the biggest thing,
that's
right?
That's another, you have to, because the thing is, no one else can believe in you if you don't believe in yourself. And the more you believe in yourself, the more others can believe in you.
Right.
Even when it's scary, I get so scared. And I have done a lot of work on myself, but I still get scared. And I have a book coming out. And
yes. It's called, tell us the title.
Let Your Fears Make You Fierce.
It's amazing. I've read part of it, and I can't wait to read the
Thank
whole book.
You.
When is it coming out?
It is coming out June the 11th.
Perfect.
June the 11th. So all that self-doubt is, not feeling enough, all that is fear. And I think once people realize we all have fear, and fear is okay, and it's okay to have doubt, but with that doubt, push forward, because that doubt is your seed for growth. I take everything that happens to me, as an opportunity for growth. So if people more looked at that, oh, I have doubt, so I can't, I don't feel like as though I'm having fear, because it's time for me to grow.
That's it.
It's time for me to fly to the next level. So even as we elevate, you're like, oh, I'm having fear, so that might not be the path. No, you're having fear. Can you push past it? Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel? So I think if we look at it differently, and maybe not look at it as I have doubt and I can't do this, instead, look at it as, I have doubt. I want to see how can I get past this doubt. And in my book, I give tools like getting a mentor, getting a partner. There are different things that you can do. Getting a team to help you. Depending on where you are in your career, there's different things that you can do to help you get past. Because a lot of times, we're not meant to live this life alone. Else we wouldn't be here together.
No, of course. Right? The collective, the community.
The collective. So I always tell people, when you're feeling doubt, reach out. Talk to someone. Communicate it. And get the help that you need. Whether it be from a counselor or a loved one or community or a team, whatever it is, just realize that you're having that feeling for a reason. That feeling isn't to stop you.
Yes.
That feeling is to push you in the right direction. So you actually like think and process, okay, what do I need to push past? Just think about it. When we're driving down the street and there's a roadblock, we don't think, oh, there's a roadblock, I can't get to where I'm going. No. What
Go
do we
the
think?
Other way.
How am I going to get around this roadblock?
That's it.
That's what we think. So when we have doubt, when we have fear, all we have to do is think, how am I going to get around this? Not, this is who I am. We accept it too much. We accept, this is my fear. This is my disease. This is my issue.
We identify with it.
We put it on like a beautiful coat. And I'm just like, don't do that.
If you like my show, you are going to love Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow on Podcast One. Apparently, 2 days a week just wasn't enough. Join the Bachelorette as she pours you a third glass of wine every week with her new Q&A episodes every Friday. Download Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow every Tuesday, Thursday, and now Friday on Podcast One. You've committed to a healthy lifestyle, and I've committed to equipping you along the way. That's why you're invited to try my new Soluna Feel Good skincare line. These products are a must try if you want a beautiful, healthy glow with a simple, safe beauty routine minus all the fuss. My non-toxic, high-performance skincare line is packed with beauty enhancers with serious rejuvenating power, including ingredients to restore your skin's natural glow by boosting collagen and antioxidants, prevent future damage by protecting, toning, and moisturizing. As a special offer for our beloved podcast listeners, we are offering 10% off using the code LOVEMYSKIN on MySoluna.com. That's 10% off this amazing skincare line with the code LOVEMYSKIN at MySoluna.com.
As a new mom, I would say I'm hyper aware how much our childhood impacts us.
Right.
And I think, Koi, you know, for me growing up in this town where I was the exotic one because I'm half Asian and everybody sort of would say, what are you? So I was always shrinking, like, don't look at me. So I was actually scared to, like, raise my hand and talk in the front of the class. So I was very shy. So imagine then this, you know, my career starts building and I'm asked to go on national television and be out in front of crowds, and I really did have to push past it, and it's true. Like, you can get past it if you believe that it's not really you.
Right.
And for me, a part of that was going into doing inner child work and healing stuff from my childhood.
Right.
Was helpful for me because that stuff is really in there.
It's really in there. And a lot of people don't realize, like, that is where we get our first impressions.
Yes.
And when you can go back and realize, okay, where did this limiting belief begin? And usually it does begin in childhood. Then you can go in and heal it and you can tell yourself a different messaging.
It's true.
Sometimes when you don't allow yourself to go back and see where it began, you might think, like, okay, what they're saying sounds good, but how can I do that? Because I don't feel it. I want to feel differently, but I can't. But when you go back, one thing that I did was, you know, with my singing, I love music and I love to sing. And one day when I was a little girl, I was with the karaoke in the scene and I was singing, ain't no mountain high enough.
Yes.
And I was belting it to the top of my lung. And my dad goes, Koya, shut up. and granted, he didn't mean to hurt me. He'd had a long day. Here I was belting for hours.
From your soul.
From my soul. And so he's just like, you know, okay, we hear you. And now let's stop. Right. So from that moment, because I'd never, you know, heard my dad like scream like that. It wasn't his regular thing. And so I was hurt and I was like, oh, I was like, well, my voice isn't good enough. Maybe.
Right.
And so from that moment, I was afraid, you know, express myself. I think I was about 9 years old.
These things are so formative. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so
and it wasn't his intention.
No, of course it wasn't. He loved me and I was a daddy's girl. And, you know, but these things happen. And that's why as parents, we have to be very careful but even so, we can't be perfect. You know,
no one's going to be perfect. No parent's going to be perfect.
Right. And so it's important, one, even, you know, in parenting and in media and everything, to just be very mindful with our words. But two, talk to people. Have I said anything to hurt you? Have I done anything to hurt you? Because a lot of the times, my dad didn't do that to intentionally hurt me, but I was hurt. But we don't have a place most time to express ourselves, especially as children.
Right.
Now things are changing. We're trying to get meditation and yoga in school. I'm a part
love
of Allo Give.
Yes.
I'm a partner with Scholastic, and now we're getting yoga and meditation into schools. So I would have processed those emotions a lot faster.
Right, if you had those tools.
Those tools, right? And so now I realize that I needed to just tell myself, I can sing. People want to hear me sing. It's okay.
Wow.
Right? But now, fast forward to doing this energy work, which is why I feel like yoga is such a gift. And counseling is such a gift. And coaching and community.
Mm-hmm.
All of these places where we can just express ourselves. Because at the end of the day, we all just want to be loved.
That's it.
Just like nature.
That's it. And just connect back to, you know, the source, who we are. Who we are is love. And then all these disconnections and the, you know, the clouds, the traumas that happen, the limiting beliefs start to crop up. But that's not really who we are.
That's not who. And when you can realize that, when that fear pops up, when that doubt pops up, if you can remember one thing that really can't be taught, you have to remember your true essence is love. Mm-hmm. If you always believe you are love, then you can get past anything. Mm. Because you'll start to realize the fear, you'll start to realize the doubt, and you won't attach to it. Mm-hmm. Right? People attach to, I have anxiety. I know I'm not a good person. All these things. Once you've attached to it, it's a downward. You're flowing downward.
Right.
When you attach to love, it's like an upward elevation. It doesn't mean you'll never get hit. It doesn't mean you'll never experience challenges. It's when you do, you realize I am love. So you realize you're going to get through it.
What's your process, Koya? Like, let's say someone, you know, throws mean stuff at you on social media or some other challenge. And you kind of, you know, like we all would feel thrown off. How do you break that cycle and go up?
Gratitude. I can tell you, honey, I'll be raw with you. It happened today, this morning.
All right.
So
I love this.
In this Airbnb. And when I walked in this luxury Airbnb, first of all, I had construction all on the outside.
Ooh.
And I walk in and they say the parking is next to the elevator and the parking is the furthest from the elevator against the wall at the end of the building. Okay. I walk through the hall. The hall doesn't smell nice. I walk in. The place is beautiful. Like the pictures, I look to my right. I see a mop sticking out, like the old school mop with the strings sticking out from the side. Not the new, like, Swiffer. No. Old school mop with the strings.
Old school nasty.
Also nasty gray mop sticking out from the refrigerator, and the entire door is off the hinges and sitting in front of the washing machine. A couple of lights are out. So I'm just like, okay, not the best, you know, introduction, but I love like what I'm seeing. I love the vibe. And so I was like, okay, let me just let them know, like, hey, maybe your maid didn't notice your person. Cause you know, I own a house and I Airbnb. Sometimes things happen, you're not aware.
Sure.
So I just let the person know, hey, this is happening and that's happening. You might want to check this out. And I took pictures and sent them. That way they don't think I did it.
Right, of course.
Whole long learning situation. Always take pictures. Always take pictures. If anything's wrong,
document,
right? Document everything, send it to them. They're like, okay, we can get someone out there. And if you want to shorten your stay, you can. Because at that point, when you complain, you have the risk of giving a bad review. So usually people like, they're smart. They're like, well, I'd rather you find somewhere else than give me a bad review.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I was like, but of course I've moved all my stuff. I'm tired. I just came from a long weekend. I'm like, oh, okay. Just, if you can send someone, I'll just be patient. And I don't give bad reviews unless you're really ratchet to me. Right.
Right.
I'm just like, I know it's hard out there. Right. So I'm just like, okay, fine. They're going to fix it. So I go to sleep, nothing about fixing it coming the next day. And I'm just like, okay, but I have a busy day, so I don't even worry about it. I was like, you know what? It's not the worst. It's not the worst thing. It's not sightly, but, and I have, you know, interviews coming. I have people coming over, and I'm just like, okay, maybe I should look for another place. And so I let them know, like, okay, so I might look for another place, but I'm not sure. But I went still a whole nother day and didn't. So here it is today, the third day in the place. I go down to my car. There's someone parked behind me.
Oh,
I am rushing to class. I got an appointment and there's someone behind me. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, there's someone behind me. Is it someone that, and I'm asking, did someone park in the wrong space? And they're like, oh, sorry. Like, we can call a tow truck. And I was like, you know what? This is a sign. Because for me, when things keep snowballing, I'm like, okay, maybe that's a sign I should move. So I was like, hey, they gave me the opportunity to shorten my stay. I'm going to shorten my stay. I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and shorten my stay and let them know. And at this point, it was 9 o'clock. So most places you have to check out by 11, right?
Whoa.
So I'm only giving myself 2 hours here. But at the same time, I'm stuck in this parking space with this person parked behind me. So I put a note on the car. I'm like, okay, call me if you move. They haven't called me. I'm packing my stuff. And I'm like, and I have the interview with you as well. And I'm just like, and I have other meetings that are movable, but you know, podcasting is a little more difficult. You don't want to move those, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so I need to get this all figured out before 2 o'clock, right? And so I was like, hey, you know, I can get all my stuff together and I can be out of here by 2. They're like, oh no, checkout's at 11. I figured they might give me a little grace.
Of course.
A little, just since I didn't complain about the thing. They're like, no, we actually had someone that wanted to. So, you know, if you stay past 11, we're going to have to charge you. I was like, well, how are you going to charge me when I can't even move my car out of your parking space? And I was like, when will the tow truck? We don't know. They said they'll be there in 2 or 3 hours. And I'm just like,
whoa.
I'm feeling my heat building.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move out. The fire is building. I'm breathing. I'm like, Alexa, play me something calm. Like, I'm playing meditation music. And the meditation music is not working. I'm calling my friend. I need your help. I can't do this alone. That's the first thing.
So
call for help.
You reach out.
Reach out for help. That's the first thing. Reach out for help. I'm still, my friend is like, I was just about to start the yoga class. Everything in me wants to say, don't do the yoga class. Come help me. But I'm like, okay, we'll just come over after, knowing I need help, right? So my friend takes the class, and here I am moving everything, packing up my stuff, praying the person calls me and moves out my stuff, and looking online to find another place. And talking to my team and dealing with my daily morning workflow of like Instagram breaking down, Mercury's in retrograde, like all the things. So my friend gets
there.
The storm is on. So my friend gets there and the storm is there. You know, he's in yoga. He just finished yoga. He's taking his time. He's just like all in
demo.
He's hey Koya. And I'm very aware when my energy is different than someone else, just from being a people person. So I'm like, okay, call him, meet his energy. Like, hey, how was class? And then the car had moved out next to me. So I was actually able to move my car out. I was like, everything's almost ready. And the hour had went past. So now I have another hour. And so I was like, everything's ready. Everything's packed. I just have to move out. And usually I hug him. I didn't hug him. I was like, can you help me move out? You know, and so I moved the car out. And then I gave him a big hug. He had bought me a kombucha, which is heaven when you're stressed out. It's like a shot, right?
Yeah, a nice fuzzy cold drink.
Fuzzy cold kombucha. And I was like, I felt so much better. So I was like, okay, all right, I'm okay. Everything is working. I reached out to another place that I found, and I was waiting to hear back. They accepted me. Okay, good. All right, let's just pack everything in this car.
Move on.
And just get out of here, because these people said they were going to charge me. I don't know what they're smoking, but I'm not having it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I am not. And, you know, all these things are bad, but I don't want to be charged on top. Because I said, and I messaged them. I was like, hey, you know what? I'll get out of here as fast as I can. But honestly, I feel like that's not right, considering I don't even know when I can move my car.
Right, of
and
course.
So... I was like, whatever. They said they, and that's the thing. When people set their boundaries and what they're going to do, you really have to try not to let it bother you. Even though it's bullying me up, I reminded myself that, okay, Koya, you are hot. You have to bring your temperature down, because one, you're going to affect your friend who is a lovely person, and they're helping you, and you don't
so
want
how
that.
So are you
bad
doing that?
So first thing is, it's gratitude. So I got in the elevator. I'm moving my bags. I was like, I'm so grateful. I got another place. I'm so grateful. And the people just messaged me and they said, because you can't even check in until 4. Right? So I was like, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm here now. And if there's any way that I can check in early, let me know. And they answered right away, that's fine. Check in whenever you want. I was like, yes.
So the gratitude shifted.
The gratitude
focusing
shifted,
on the good.
Focus on the good. Ugh. And then immediately, I was like, yes. And then my friend, I was like, thank you so much. I gave them the longest, warmest hug. And I was just like, thank you for coming right away. Thank you. You know, because I think you get into like, oh, I wish you would came sooner. Or I wish it would have been. The
He's
more that
now.
You give yourself on the negative and thinking about
yes.
the negative, it spirals downward. If you can get yourself
so
on the
true.
Gratitude train. I call it soul scribing. In the morning, everything I'm grateful for, everything I'm thinking about in my heart.
You write it every morning.
Like, every morning.
Wow.
Right? I wrote it this morning and things went another way. So it's not promised that when you write everything.
But it's helping to keep you
I still did my pranayama this morning.
Yes.
I did my yoga this morning. If you're a good person, it doesn't mean crazy things are going to happen to you. But when they do, if you go back to your practice, you go back to your breath work, you go back to your gratitude, things will start to shift. Mm. So gratitude is the key for me. And it also brings your temperature down, and it brings your fear down, because I was in fear, like, I'm not going to get out in time. I'm not going to get a place. Like, all this fear. It's like, wait a minute, Koya. What did I just say? You are love. So I had to remember in that moment, you are love, and everything good in the universe is yours. Everything that's in alignment. You know what? I am so glad I moved to a more beautiful place. Mm. And every person that's coming to visit me is not going to have to go through that raggedy elevator with those stinky hallways and the hinges off
and
the door.
Nasty mop.
And it took this coming into my face for me to realize that is not in alignment with the love that you want to vibrate at.
Yes.
Right? And I just had to say yes, and I had to go with the flow.
So you shifted your energy before you wrote a nasty thing or you said it out loud.
Yeah.
You bring it out into the world.
No.
You internalize, you process it.
I processed it and I turned it into love.
Beautiful.
I turned those lemons into lemonade.
Because I think that's something that can happen over time with practice. I see people all the time. I saw this couple on the plane the other day and it didn't even seem like they were married. They had two kids. I mean, they were married, but the way they spoke to each other was
right.
So sharp and
right.
Like just, it was coming out of their mouth.
Right.
So sometimes, of course, we all say things that we were like, oh, that was, you know, not the nicest way of saying it. But I feel like then it hurts us more when it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
So trying to stop the process, shift it before we even speak from mm-hmm. that energy.
Yeah. And that's what happened. I saw myself speaking to my friend, and what did I say? I was like, I was telling him what happened. I can't believe they. And I was like, I can't believe they would try to charge me. And I was letting it come out. And then I was like, and I just shook my head. I was like, and I'm so grateful this other place took me. I'm so grateful that.
Right.
So you really have to shake it off. Like, even though I'm practiced, it still comes into my existence. It comes into my head. It's like, even when I judge myself, I was like, oh, I don't think I can do that. I was like, you know what? Of course I can do it. And they have this cute saying, you know, in my community with my students. They're like, you know, Instagram is not going to let me be great when something is going wrong. Like, this such and such is not going to let me be great. And it's so cute. And I love it. And then I always say that, like, it doesn't have a choice. Greatness is my birthright.
Mm.
And that's how I take some negative speaking and negative thinking. Even though it's fun, I always try to shift it. Because every thought is a thing.
Mm.
And it's part of creation. It's part of the law of attraction, which I believe in. And so even when I find myself speaking that, I'm like, nope, you're going to shift it.
Mm.
And the fastest way to shift it is through gratitude and self-love and realizing that you are love. And you deserve the best life has to offer.
Mm.
Right?
I love this saying you have, get loved up.
Yes.
Tell me the origins of it, what it means to you.
So get loved up is me just realizing, you know, first through the track and field injury and then through my processing is that, you know, I need to take better care of myself. You know, and the more that I take better care of myself, the more that I'm able to take care of others. Because even when I was a personal trainer, I was so focused on being there for others that I wasn't getting my sleep again. I wasn't taking, and I was so busy trying to get all these points for my track team that I wasn't even processing the fact that, you know, I need more time for recovery.
Mm.
I need more time to think about what I'm going to eat and to actually eat healthy food. And so once I realized that, I was like, you know what? The more that I love myself, the more that I can love others. But I have to love myself first and foremost, right?
Mm.
I have to make sure that I'm healthy because I can't love others if I'm unhealthy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's three pillars, self-care, self-love, and being love, and then loving others. So that
I love how
it's all
what is love?
You have to take responsibility too. And that's what it's about is, you know, I could blame my chaotic morning on, you know, the first Airbnb host, right? But really, if I take responsibility, it was just a thing. And the lesson in it was, how can I process it? And now I'm bringing it to this podcast. So now how
Beautiful.
Can I use what happened to me to help inspire others to be love, to be in gratitude?
To move past all this stuff that happens.
Because it just happens. It's just life.
And if you held on to it, this anger, this, oh, I'm going to write a bad review,
yeah.
I'm going to gossip about this person,
yeah.
that really just disturbs us. Yeah. It hurts us.
But what I said is, you know, because I'm still feeling, it was still tough, right?
I mean, I wouldn't know. You seem very calm.
Right, I seem very calm. Because this is what happened. So let me continue. Like, so here as I got to make this post, right, in the morning. And I got to do stories. I got to show up, right? I still got to be my light and bubbly and upbeat self. And I'm going through a major funk, right? I'm going through a major hit.
Yeah, what do you
do? It's like I got to pull it out. So it's like, you know, I am love. I stay in gratitude. That helps me pull it out. And the more I'm in gratitude, what happens? The more that love aligns with me, right? Because like attracts life. So I'm thinking, you know what? I know I'm going to have to take care of myself. Maybe I'll go to the spa after. Maybe I'll go to dinner with Kimberly. Like, yes. I'm thinking all these things, right? And so then I get this email, like, inviting me to dinner, right?
Right.
And like, I went to that thinking too. I wanted to go to dinner.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
I mean, we just don't even realize how powerful we are.
Thoughts are so powerful, and I just smile. My heart smiles.
I love that.
It made me feel so good because, you know, again, we all want to be loved, but first we have to give that love to ourselves. We have to get ourselves out of fear. Don't allow ourselves to be consumed by fear so that love can meet us. Again, it's like it's an attraction. It's like a magnet. You know, and whatever we do, we see it what happens with water. Water will trickle down and trickle down, but then it comes into a big ocean or a lake, right? So it's the same thing with love. You want love to trickle into you, so you have to open up your heart.
Be receptive.
Be receptive. The more that you close off, you're making it so hard for love to get to you.
Judgment is so
crazy. Judgment and ridicule and these limiting beliefs that we all have, that makes it harder for love to get in. Makes it hard.
And this is all things you talk about in your new book as well.
Yes. I talk about my challenges. I talk about how I get through them. I talk about chakra work.
Love.
And how to use crystals with your chakra. There's so many tools.
Are you really into crystals?
I'm really into crystals.
I love
crystals because they're energetic. They're part of nature.
Yeah.
I'm into crystals. I'm into nature. Going out, grounding, putting your feet on the sand.
Love.
When you're feeling like not so good, just go outside and inhale. Even if you're in the city, just go outside or look at a picture of whatever you love. Like, some people love mountains, some people love the ocean, some people just love a park. Visualization.
Flowers.
Yeah, flowers.
Yeah,
yes.
All these flower pictures, and they just make me feel happy.
Yes. So in the book, I talk about a love bank. So whatever it is, you have this love bank and you want to put deposits in it, right? So I like to buy myself flowers. I like to get a massage. I like to be around babies. So these are things are making
deposits. Oh, you're about to meet my baby.
I can't wait. I like to go out to eat. So you got to know what makes you, and everyone is different. What makes you happy? What makes you laugh? What makes your heart smile? And then when things go wrong, build yourself back up with that. So I got myself back on, and I was like, I was building myself up, one, by having a friend help me.
And this friend seemed like the right friend.
Oh, it was the right friend. Like, we've been friends for like over a decade.
Because what if someone, other people can kind of buy into that negativity.
Right.
Like, oh, I can't believe that happened.
You should do this. Yeah.
So you're surrounding yourself with really loving,
positive people. It's so important.
So important.
It's so important because I tell my friends, don't let me spiral downwards. You're like, if I'm in a negative, if I'm in a funk, like, help me come out of it. Because that's what I do.
Yeah. And because hold space for each other.
Whole space, and that is the most beautiful thing I feel like you can do as a friend.
Yeah,
if you feel someone, hold space, try not to judge, and just listen.
Yeah,
and allow them process. Maybe even remind them, like, how can we turn this around? How can we make this work for you? Mm-hmm. You know, because I think some of us feel like relating, like, oh yeah, man, screw them, that sucks, and da da da. And you know, that's what we get used to, and that's what we feel like is relating and being there. And there is a time and place for that, but I also think there's a time and place for us to practice. Lifting our friends up and lifting our loved ones up and saying, all right, so what can we do to like make this better? And I feel like when I found that when I moved to California, I found more of that. People that elevated me and took me to the next level of love, took me to the next level of greatness. And going through the course of miracles and learning how to take responsibility for my world, everything that happens in my world, the good and the bad, that really, it's hard. But
it is
something
hard.
That will keep you out of that funk so good, because if it's just you and you can't blame anyone else because it's just your world, right? Then it makes it easier to process it, right? It's easier when you can put blame or fault on someone else. And true, it was not a kind thing to do. wasn't the thing to do, to tell someone, okay, yeah, be out of here really fast or we're going to
cut.
It wasn't kind, right? But I can't focus on that, right? I can't focus. They have to deal with that karma of that situation or their energy in that themselves.
And
me being negative is not going to help the situation, right? And I think if we more so realize that our being in fear or being in negativity or being in these things, while it's might be understandable, it's not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly.
It's not helpful for our evolution and growth. It's not helpful for our health.
We're hurting ourselves.
We're hurting ourselves. Someone hurts you once, and every time you repeat that reality, you hurt yourself over and over. It's one thing if you're telling a story, but if you're really energetically hurt by it, unfortunately,
You're reliving it
over and over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Koya, you have so much amazing wisdom. You are such a light. I see how you've built this amazing community around you. Where can we and guys, we're going to link to in the show notes all of Koya's information, but what are some amazing things how can we find you? How can we get involved with you?
Oh, thank you.
And besides the book, which is coming out June 11th.
June 11th, Let Your Fears Make You Fears, How to Turn Common Obstacles into Seeds for Growth.
Amazing.
That's the full title of the book, and you can pick that up anywhere. I also will be having a tour, retreat, yoga teacher training. So the retreats are 7 to 8 days.
Where's the next retreat?
The next retreat is in LA.
Oh, great.
And that happens in May and actually ends June 11th. And then the next one is in Chicago, and that's in July.
Wow.
And then the last one is in Jamaica in December.
Oh.
Yeah. And then we're going to Egypt. And
what?
Everywhere we go, we're doing yoga every day. We're meditating every day. We're practicing on these tools. We're releasing limiting belief. We're living in love.
Amazing.
So everything we talked about today, we're practicing on a daily basis.
So your retreat schedule's on your website.
Yes. You can find it at KoyaWeb.com. KoyaWeb.com. You can find everything about the retreats, everything, the book, everything. Also on Instagram. You can come on there, ask me questions, comment, you know, just be a part of the community. I tell people and get loved up.
Get loved up. I love it.
And it's love yourself, love others, and love the planet. And the last part of it is just the more that we take care of each other, the more we can take care of Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We start to eat better.
Well, that's where the plant-based comes
exactly.
in as well. Connecting to, I'm not just eating for myself, but the choices I'm making when I'm eating affect the forests and the dolphins.
Absolutely.
Everything.
Yeah.
We're so connected.
We're so connected. And when we're more mindful in how we consume, not only how we consume, you know, food, but how we consume everything, the media, like not letting it impress negatively on us, but using it for good. Because some people are like, oh, you know, Instagram is so toxic. Social media is so toxic. And it can be. It can be. But when you find it being toxic, how can you shift?
Yes.
How you use it, when you use it, and how can you shift it to love?
That's right.
That's the question you always ask yourself in your personal life, in your business. How can you shift your vibration to love?
Wow.
Because you are love.
It's beautiful. It's truth. It's bringing us back.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Koya, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a treat.
Amazing. I love being with you. And I'm going to come to that LA.
Yes. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.